Everyone, good to be here. Have some handouts, and we're full today, so I run out of handouts. So if anyone is sharing them with a mate and you can spare a handout, anyone needs a handout, can you put your hand up? We'll try to facilitate that and get you a handout. Handouts. Okay. Okay, now that we've solved the handout mystery. It's good to see everyone. It's happy to have our visitors here with us. Hi to those on the webcast. In keeping with the Pentecost season, today I want us to look at the Holy Spirit in general and its dove-like attributes in particular, in a way that we may never have looked at them before. I want us to draw some vital lessons and find out how to obey a vital command. The commonly accepted notion of the so-called Christian world is that the Holy Spirit is a person completing the so-called Trinity. As members of God's called out ones, he has given us a true understanding of the nature of his Spirit, and we know that it is not a person. So here are some supporting facts. We are made in the image of God, and we know from Scripture that God has eyes. We know he has ears. He speaks, and his voice sometimes is like thunder. Moses saw his back, and we know he has a face, but we can't look on it, for anyone who looks on God's face will not live. Now, Jesus, the second person in the Godhead, as we understand it, the Son of God, walked this earth as a man. So obviously he had the likeness of man, which is actually built in the image of God. After his crucifixion, he manifested himself as a man after he returned to spirit at the instant of his resurrection. But for 40 days, his disciples could still recognize him. He had a face, he had eyes, he had a mouth, he spoke, they could touch him. But nowhere in Scripture is the Holy Spirit described as having any of these so-called image of God attributes. So let's look at seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit described in Scripture. Turn with me, please, to Acts 2:17, we can start there. Now, these scriptures we all know, but let's just review them. Acts 2:17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out my spirit, so the spirit is something that can be poured, like water, like rain. Okay, let's look at another attribute of God's spirit. For that, let's turn to John 7 and read verses 37 to 39. In the last days again, the great day of the feast, Jesus cried, saying, If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scriptures had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit. So, rivers, we can pour, and it can flow. Nowhere in Scripture, as it relates to mention of God or Jesus, is there any mention of pouring or flowing? Again, if we turn to Acts 2:2, and we don't have to go there, But the Holy Spirit came as a mighty gushing wind. A mighty gushing wind. And nowhere again is God ever referred to as a mighty gushing wind, nor is Jesus Christ. None of those descriptions are alluded to them. The Holy Spirit comes as oil. And in 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22, the anointing of oil of the scripture is directly related to the Holy Spirit. So again, oil, anointing. And nowhere is God or Jesus Christ referred to in that connotation. The Spirit also comes as wine. Wine. And we won't turn there, but Ephesians 5:18, we draw the analogy of the symbolism of the Holy Spirit as it relates to wine. Fire, the Holy Spirit, and we know the story of God speaking to Moses out of the burning bush. We know that he led the children of Israel, his Spirit, through a pillar of fire. And on that first day of Pentecost, like tongues of fire, the Holy Spirit hovered over those who were assembled there. So, fire. Yet again, nowhere in Scripture is God or Jesus Christ referred to or spoken to or alluded to as fire. And finally, we come to the Holy Spirit as a dove. And we know when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit not only descended, but alighted on him in the form of a dove. The Holy Spirit coming as a dove is gentle and is a symbol of peace, devotion, innocence. Nowhere in all of Scripture is God or Jesus, like I said, referred to as a dove. Now, which of these manifestations of the Holy Spirit does God command us to be like? I think you already know the answer, but we'll expand on that in a little bit. But let's read it for the purpose of completion here in Matthew 10:16. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So, a couple of things we want to look at here. We are being sent as sheep in the midst of wolves. And then to deal with that, we're asked to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. So let me share with you my wolf story. I'll share with you a few stories, but we'll try to get lessons and learn lessons from these stories as we go along. My wolf story. My wife was in North Carolina taking care of the grandchildren for a week, and in talking to her on the phone, she said she's taking them to the zoo the next day. So I like zoos. My kids, when they were young, we've taken them to the Tampa Zoo, the London Zoo, the Amsterdam Zoo, the Shanghai Zoo, zoos. So I'm saying, my grandchildren, I need to take them to the zoo. I need to be the first to take them to the zoo. So long story short, I got up there the next day, just in time. I got there about noon, and we had an afternoon trip to the zoo. So we go to the zoo, and it's the really first time in the zoo that I saw an enclosure with wolves. But here was the problem for me. My youngest grandson in that group of grandkids, you know we have many grandkids, he was about two, right? About two at the time. And you know how a two-year-old is active and running and in between and so on. But once I glanced up, there was a wolf behind the fence stalking him. It didn't matter all the other people. It didn't matter all the other kids. But every move he made, this wolf was stalking him. And all of a sudden, I had a feeling that I've never had before. Oh, wow. A feeling of helplessness. A feeling of what do I do if this wolf gets out? Immediately I'm thinking, did they build this fence right? Who built it anyway? but I had a feeling that I really never had before. And I'm thinking, now if this wolf gets out here, how am I going to protect this boy? But here is the story. We are sent out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Well, not only are we sent out as sheep in the midst of wolves, but many times, as Paul says, sheep will arise among us, destroying the flock. So it's danger outside, and it's danger inside. And if we really think it through, we may begin to get that feeling of helplessness and, boy, how am I going to get through this? There are wolves out there, and there are potential wolves in here. In fact, over the past many years, how many times haven't we seen our church attacked by wolves? And you understand, okay? On the inside. So it's a real threat. So because of this threat, we're told to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And today we'll find out how to do that and how that'll help us deal with the threat of wolves inside and outside. So let's start off wise as a serpent. So you may say, Dr. B, what do you know about serpents? Well, let me share with you my serpent stories. I have two. As an ER physician, many, many, many years ago, I took care of a little boy. He couldn't be more than 4 or 5, where here was the problem. This was in Illinois. He was walking along the riverbank catching crabs. So as he went to catch one crab, it ran down a hole. He didn't know what hole it went into, but an innocent boy is looking to see where the crab went. Where he stuck his nose in a hole, it was a snake. And he got bitten on his nose. That was a sick boy. Sick boy. Sick boy. We saved him, but he was a sick boy. A sick boy. So where are we sticking our noses? No, it's not that funny. Are we reading things? Are we listening to things? Are we looking at things that we shouldn't be? Because, who knows, we may get bitten. And that may be the first thing to play with our minds and draw us away. That may be the first nip of that wolf, inside or outside. My second snake story. Now, this was told by my mom. When she was in college in Trinidad, she didn't know these people, but heard of a girl. And before I go on with the story, let me show you my favorite snake. Ah. Now, how does this differ from the snake you have in your lap?
Uh-huh. Or is that one poisonous?
Okay, I think you're on the right track. You're on the right track. One is poisonous and one is not. Okay? Steve, do you mind helping us? Helping us to understand?
The one you're showing is venomous because it has the red and yellow rings together and it has a black snout. The one on the handout that you gave us is not venomous because the red and yellow rings are not together and the snout is red.
Steve is right, and I didn't even tell him. Okay, yeah, the dinghy, if you want to call it, that we were taught and that we learned, if you look at this snake, red is on yellow, red on yellow, kill a fellow. If you look at the one in your lap, red on black, friend of Jack. Okay, so if you ever see these snakes, that's one way to distinguish them. The other thing, as Steve said, this one has a black head. Okay? Black head, you're dead. Okay, I think you got it. You got it. Okay? So, by the way, this is a coral snake. A coral snake is a very dangerous snake. Don't do this at home, okay? I caught this snake, Sean and I caught this snake. In fact, we caught three snakes like this. I had killed many of them at home, and every time I killed one, I would say, that's a pretty snake. Why did I kill it? So I determined next time I see one, I'm going to catch it. Don't ask me how I caught it. I'm not going to tell you because I don't want you to do this at home. Now, let me add another story. Once I caught it, I called a taxidermist because I needed it mounted. Phone rings. Taxidermist on the other line. Hello, this is Joe Smith, the taxidermist. Said, I'm Dr. Burkle. I have a coral snake. Click. Okay. So I found another taxidermist who was willing to listen to me and willing to look at my snake and see what he could do for me. But here's the lesson. You know, Jesus was fasting, and the phone rang. And, the voice on the other line says, you know, command these stones to make bread. Click. Yeah, he said, he hung up. He didn't listen. He didn't say, well, let me hear what he has to say. He hung up. Whereas Eve, on the other hand, she said, that's a pretty thing. Let me inspect it. It speaks. Let me listen to what it has to say. Maybe somebody isn't telling me the whole truth. Now, aren't those things that we have heard along the way from time to time? And many people we know aren't here because they stopped to inspect. They stopped to listen. And they stopped to, maybe someone isn't telling us the whole story. Be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Back to the story of the girl with the snake. Now, she was walking with a friend along a country road, and she happened to spy what we think now is a coral snake. Now, through the corner of her eye, it looked like to her like a string of beads. And so she distracted her friend because she wanted the beads for herself. As soon as her friend got distracted, she grabbed a string of beads and stuck them in her bosom. She never lived to discuss it. So again, wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Watch what you're sticking in your bosom. Watch what you're getting close to. Watch what you're paying attention to. We have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So a serpent is wise. A serpent has keen eyesight. It's quick to learn. For the most part, they like to remain out of sight and attack only in self-defense. And I'm not sure why the rattlesnake makes noise, but maybe it's making noise to say, stay away, I don't want to hurt you. Make sense? Because that's, I think, the only snake that really lets you know that it's around. And once you hear that rattle, you know that rattle. And you pay attention. Make sense? But for the most part, snakes like to be, because this one I caught about 5 feet from my front door. The other one I caught about 5 feet from my back door. And the other one I caught around the pool. So in all my years in the ER, I'd see maybe 3 to 5 snake bites a year, some not so bad and some bad. But I've never seen a coral snake bite because they stay hidden. And I guess we're all instructed to look out for them. Has anyone seen a coral snake around their house besides me? Okay, I see a few hands. But apparently where I live, they had a nest. Over the years, I killed about a dozen of them. Okay? So the other thing about snakes are predators. And they hunt, but they're shrewd in their hunting. Now, my granddaughter, Jewel, has a snake, and it's like the king snake, actually a cross between a king snake and another snake. She had it from little, and now it's huge. Okay? But has anyone ever seen a snake attack a mouse? Yes, no? A few? Okay, okay. Well, here's how the shrewd snake does it. Put a snake in the pen, and he's just quiet. He's not doing anything. And the mouse is kind of, where am I? Who am I? Oh, maybe there's something over there. As soon as he turns to face the snake, whoop, the snake gets him in the face and suffocates him. Okay, snake's going to attack him from the tail or from the stomach because he can't. But as soon as he turns his nose, sniffing, he's gone. Okay, again, the lesson. We have to pay attention to where we're turning our noses. And I mean that. You understand what I mean. In terms of what we're looking, what we're listening, what we're doing, because there are wolves out there. And Paul said there could be wolves in here. So we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So then, herein lies the wisdom of the serpent. One, maintain a low profile. And you'll find this on the back of your handout. So, yeah. Be seen and not heard. Be ready always to give an answer. Be ready always to respond in the right way. Quietly escape dangerous situations. And most snakes, if they can, and they hear you coming, they'll escape. Submit totally to God's Spirit when you speak. And here's what I mean by that. Here was a serpent in the garden, and whatever motive he had, he wanted to speak, but he couldn't speak of himself. But he let a spirit speak through him. That spirit, we know, deceived Eve. We have access to an entirely different spirit. And many times we speak, but maybe not in the best way, with the best approach. So let us submit ourselves so the Spirit can speak through us. When that happens, it'll teach us what to say, as we are told. Our speech will be seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt. We'll have that soft answer that turns away wrath. And as we're told in Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold on pictures of silver. So paying attention to learning and incorporating these attributes into our lives, that will help us obey the command, be wise as a serpent. So next, it is because of, or maybe in spite of, our precarious situation, wolves without, wolves within, we're also commanded to be harmless as doves. Again, you ask, Dr. B, what do you know about doves? Well, as a boy, I raised doves. I raised pigeons. And around the age 10, in fact, what reminded me about giving this, you know, I like to give lessons from nature. I was just back home. And back, at least on the island of St. Eustatius, the predominant bird is the dove. There's the ground dove and there's the mountain dove. Ground dove is small, the mountain dove is a little bigger. And they were out in force, all around the house, all around, as a boy, I used to catch doves. I'd set traps, catch doves, and my mother would fix them for lunch. So I know a little bit about doves. In fact, speaking about doves, let me give you my favorite dove story. Okay? Yep, I have stories, but hopefully we are learning lessons from those stories. Okay? Windy Lindy. That was my favorite. Windy Lindy, yeah. Well, I was a kid when I named her, okay? Windy Lindy. But here's the deal with Windy Lindy. In raising my pigeons, Windy Lindy came out to be different from any pigeon I've ever seen. But you said, Doc, we're talking about doves, not pigeons. Well, actually, according to a dictionary I looked up, a pigeon is actually a large dove. They call it a pigeon, or dove is a small pigeon. They belong to the same family, and the names are interchangeable. So if I say dove for a pigeon, I'm talking about the same thing. Windy Lindy was different from any pigeon I'd ever raised. The coloring, it was smaller than usual, but it attached to me. And every day I came home from school, I don't care where Windy Lindy was, if I got on the back porch and say, Windy Lindy, flit, 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 Windy Lindy would be there. Make sense? And for a year, I don't remember how long now, Windy Lindy, we had that attachment going. I had built a pen for the birds, and the pen had a door. And somehow I got the bright idea that, you know, every night I have to go and lock the door because the cats are going to get them and so on. Maybe I could make it easy for them and easy for me. So I sealed up the door, built a little ledge with a little opening so they could go in and out, but the cats couldn't go in. Now, I was very proud of myself, of my accomplishment, and went to sleep that night. Next day, went to school, came home, Windy Lindy, but there was no Windy Lindy. So, well, maybe she's not within hearing distance. No Windy Lindy. So I began to get concerned. Looked over the wall, looked over the fence, and there was a snake with a bulge. Okay, so I took a machete, went over, hacked the snake open right where the bulge was, and there was Windy Lindy. Okay, sad story, but here's the lesson. We have to protect. We have to guard our minds. If we just leave, when I locked them up, there was never a problem with snakes or cats or anything. But once I started to rearrange things, left a little opening, which I thought was a good idea, not a good idea, at least not for Windy Lindy. She paid with her life. Again, the lesson. Wise as serpents, harmless as a dove. So you could call this a serpent-dove story. My dove got eaten by a serpent because of my, whatever you call that. I thought I was doing a good thing, making it convenient for me. Convenient? Sometimes we want to make things convenient, but that may not be the right thing. Making it convenient for them, which cost Windy Lindy her life. A dove is innocent, meek, gentle. They are harmless, feeding on seeds and insects. They are sociable creatures, and they prefer to mind their own business. Does that sound like something we should be doing, minding our own business? So then, herein lies the attributes that typify the harmlessness of a dove. Meekness, innocence, purity, gentleness, peace, devotion, fidelity. Now, let all those words ring in your mind and look at the picture of a dove. Can't you actually see those things in the dove? It just has that innocent look. It just has that, It just looks like a bird that encompasses all those attributes. And so when we're told to be harmless like a dove, there is real meaning to it. So paying attention to learning and incorporating these attributes into our lives, that will help us obey the command as harmless as a dove. So let's look at these attributes in a little more detail. Harmless as a dove as meekness. The dove is the emblem of meekness. So should we be. This dove-like meekness is the best jewel and ornament we can wear. And let's turn to 1 Peter 3, 4. 1 Peter 3, verse 4. And I think I got that right. Let's see. Nope, this doesn't look like what I'm looking for. But it's talking about putting on the ornament of a meek spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. It is? Okay, yeah, I was across the page. Okay, who's, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Let's go to verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be of the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Dove, meek spirit. Us having that spirit in us is in the sight of God a great price. Having a meek spirit will certainly attract God's attention, for in Isaiah 66:2 he says, but to this man will I look, even to him that is meek and of a quiet spirit. It will not only inspire him to look at us, but inspire him to help us, for in Psalms 25:9 we're told, the meek will he guide in judgment, the meek will he teach his way. We should be harmless as doves, as for innocence. The innocence of the dove is seen in the fact that it does not hurt anyone. I remember when I used to, I raised the chickens. You're ready to catch a chicken, and it's scratching, and it's making a fuss, okay? But when I set the trap and I catch a dove, I put my hand in, and the dove just kind of scoops down. I pick it up, and it's over. It doesn't fight. It doesn't pick. It doesn't bite. It doesn't attack anyone. It has no claws. And it really doesn't attack anyone. Okay? And that's what we are asked to do. Esteem others better than ourselves. We find that in Philippians 2:3. Harmless as a dove, as far as purity. The dove is an emblem of purity. It loves the purest air. It feeds on pure grain. We need to guard our minds again and our thoughts, like I said. We are told to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep our hearts without diligence. Pay attention to what we read. Pay attention to what we hear. Pay attention to what we see. Keep our hearts, protect our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And that will help us to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. We should be harmless as doves as far as gentleness. Gentleness is one of the fruit of God's Spirit. And so if that Spirit is dwelling in us and filling us, and we are working with and exemplifying that fruit in our lives, there will be gentleness. We should be harmless as a dove as far as peace. And the dove is an emblem of peace. Whenever you see any connotation of peace, a building, a peace building, there's a dove with a little olive in its beak, peace. The dove is a symbol of peace. Let all your ways be pleasantness and all your paths be peace, we are told in Proverbs 3:17. We should be harmless as doves as it relates to devotion. Devotion. Now you say, Dr. B, how can we do that? Remember the story of Noah? Doves, not so much, although the smaller, well, doves, yes, the larger doves and the smaller pigeons are trained as homing pigeons or homing doves. And anyone understands what homing means? I'll explain. Okay, we have a few. Now, a pigeon can be trained to, if it's taken away from home, to return home. And you say, well, that's easy. Sure, around the corner. But pigeons have been known to fly for up to 600 miles in a day. 600 miles. Now, you try driving 600 miles. You're going to get very tired. You're going to stop. Yeah, I know. You can take a nap, something. But the pigeon is out there. In fact, pigeons were used to carry messages between cities, in war, between generals. Makes sense? Because they can be trained to go home. Now, how does that apply to us? Well, let's talk about David. Yeah, he was a homing guy. I mean, he got into all kinds of stuff. But he'd always go back to God. He'd always go back to God's law. Yeah. In fact, he was such a homing guy that God liked him and said, David, a man after my own heart. I mean, he did things that we wouldn't even think of doing ourselves. But when it was all said and done, David repented, went back. So that's a lesson we can learn. Because we're human, and we make mistakes, and we sin. But devoted to God, always coming back, and knowing that he's there ready to receive us, like the father of the prodigal son. We should be doves, like doves, in terms of fidelity. And when I raised pigeons, I was just a kid, between ages 8 and 10. But I used to love to, and I had a lot of doves, pigeons, and I had a nice big pen. But the pigeons, no matter how many of them there were, they were always in pairs. And when they laid eggs, they would lay two eggs. And when they hatch, one was male, one was female. That's just the way it is with doves and pigeons. And once they hatch, they're mates for life. Now, a pigeon can live anywhere, I was told, from 15 to 33 years. Okay, for a bird, fidelity, a lesson we can learn, faithfulness. Faithfulness to our mates, faithfulness to our families, faithfulness to our church and to each other, and obviously, and most importantly, faithfulness to God. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Now that we understand our real predicament, we are a sheep among wolves, attacking from within and without. We are vulnerable and helpless. Now that we understand the lesson of where we stick our noses, it can make us very sick sometimes. Now that we understand the lesson of what we draw close to us, what we pay attention to, what becomes important to us, what we stick in our bosom, if you will. Now that we understand the lesson of Windy Lindy, sometimes just leaving one little thing open, one little thing ajar, one little thing not done, or one little thing done that should not be done, can spell disaster. In my case, it took the life of my favorite bird. Now that we understand wherein lies the wisdom of the serpent, and let's go over them. Maintain a low profile, be seen and not heard, be ready always to give an answer, quietly escape dangerous situations, let God speak through his spirit for you. Now that we understand wherein lies the harmlessness of the dove, meekness, innocence, purity, gentleness, peace, devotion, fidelity, let us learn the lesson. Let us live the lesson. Let us become wise as serpents and harmless as doves.